First of all, to those ITEP interns up there, there's no way that was a top song in 2005. There's just no way. Let's talk about that later. I'll meet you out back. We'll talk about this. Thank you, Janet. I've been told, as Janet said, this is the first time that a representative from the fifth year reunion class has been invited to share remarks alongside distinguished speakers from the 25th and 50th reunion classes. And I really wish no one had told me that, because that only served to elevate my level of fear about this experience to what I think the Department of Homeland Security calls simply code red. But I do feel compelled to begin these remarks today by introducing our new president, Dr. Casey, to the class of 2005. And I would like to begin this formal icebreaker of sorts, to sort of rekindle my DePauw.Year One experience here, with a small request of you, sir. Because I've been asked by one of my fellow class members of the class of 2005 to graciously, of course, request that you amend a statement you made during last year's alumni reunion convocation. A year ago, you audaciously, perhaps, remarked that DePauw is made stronger when its alumni return. I'm going to say that again real slow. That DePauw is made stronger when its alumni return. It's bold stuff here. But, sir, it's my intention not to be pedantic about this, but I wonder if in the future, maybe just in the reference to the class of 2005, if you could amend this assertion just slightly by saying that DePauw is made stronger when its alumni return or when its alumni never leave. Because following this logic, the class of 2005, over these past 5 years, has bequeathed to the university a priceless, invaluable gift in the form of a senior assistant director of global opportunities, Kyle Danforth. And I know you're as eager, Dr. Casey, as I am to put this oversight behind us. So if I could, I would just like to propose a small modification to the convocation schedule. No need to reprint or anything, just a small schedule change. After the class of 1960 unfurls their banner displaying their contribution to the university, we, the class of 2005, would simply like to provide a visual representation of our own ongoing contribution to DePauw by unfurling a banner of our own that bears the likeness of Kyle Danforth across it. You do that? Is that a deal? Good. I thought so. Wonderful. Dr. Casey, DePauw Alumni Association members of the classes of 1960, 1985, and many others, and of course to the class of 2005, those of us who are not watching World Cup soccer, thank you for coming. I'm humbled by this opportunity, and I don't want to go any further without acknowledging and affirming the efforts of our fifth-year reunion co-chairs, Jack, Gabby, Michelle, and Albina. We really thank you for your leadership in coordinating this weekend's events. It has been, by my calculations, 1,846 days since the members of the class of 2005 were so intimately situated here on campus. And so when preparing these remarks, I, of course, was reminded of an experience I had the last time we were so close, and that was involving, of course, our commencement address delivered by Mr. Eric Schlosser. And I remember as we settled into our seats on East College lawn, I vividly remember Maston Jones sitting right in front of me, opening his commencement booklet, turning to the page with the order of events on it, scrolling down to Mr. Schlosser's title of his commencement address, and softly muttering the speech title to himself, Freedom. And then I remember him turning around to me and saying, this speech is going to piss some people off. And he was right. I certainly don't intend to incite any animosity today, but I would this afternoon like to explore not the strength that that alumni give to DePauw, but rather the strength that DePauw has instilled within each of us. The strength I believe imbued within the graduates of this great university is more than a mental toughness, it's more than a spiritual sturdiness, it's more than an emotional durability. I think that we, the graduates of DePauw University of all classes, of all generations, have been enriched, and through gatherings such as this one, are reinvigorated with a tenacious conviction that this university has prepared and equipped us to solve in various ways the greatest problems facing our communities, our nation, and our world. And while we certainly must be careful to prevent this conviction from manifesting as a sense of entitlement or pretentiousness, when wielded correctly, I believe that this unyielding certainty that DePauw has readied us to take on the most pressing issues of the day has and will continue to affect real, meaningful progress in our nation and our world. And so I think the questions that we face as DePauw alumni are thus, one, are we conscious of this strength and its potential for impact? And two, how best can we use it for the greater good? I need to add one more layer here in the abstract, and I promise I'll make this concrete. Perhaps it makes more sense on this, more sense on this day and in this place than in any other time, at any other time or location, to highlight the ways in which a collection of DePaul alumni can collaborate to leverage their respective strengths in such a way that really exponentially grows the impact of their work. Okay, concrete, here we go. 10 years ago, a DePaul alumni from the class of 85, spurred by her work in the city with the lowest high school graduation rate in the country at that time, Detroit, moved to a city which at that time had the second lowest high school graduation rate in the country, Indianapolis. Her purpose for moving to Indianapolis, I think, is indicative of that strength, of that conviction that DePaul instills within its graduates. Siri Lesher's objective was to recruit like-minded individuals to help launch a new public high school in the urban core of Indianapolis, whose mission would be singular, to provide a rigorous learning experience to its students, regardless of their past academic performance, who graduate with the capacity for selective college or university admittance and success. And recall, this is a time in which Indianapolis' high school graduation rate was abysmal. And so, of course, there were those who said to her, what this school model you're proposing, this school model is antithetical to what the children of Indianapolis, the children of Indianapolis' urban center, are capable of doing. But in search for individuals who supported her conviction and who were willing to throw the entirety of their strength behind seeing her vision through, Siri found in a principal and a CEO, Marcus Robinson, class of 1994, and a chairman of the board in John Neighbors, class of 1971. These and many other DePaul alumni have leveraged their respective strengths and shared conviction that DePaul has prepared them to open exactly this sort of school in precisely this kind of a city. And today, the Charles A. Tinley Accelerated School has just concluded its sixth year of operation in what was once a Cub Foods grocery store. And along the way, it has expanded to serve students in grades 6 through 12, celebrated 3 graduations of seniors, all of who were accepted, and all of who have gone on to colleges, including SMU, Amherst, and of course, DePaul. This year, Tinley was recognized as a 4-star school by the Indiana Department of Education, meaning that its attendance rate and its state test scores put it in the top quartile, the top 25% of all Indiana public schools. What's alarming is the fact that across Marion County, across all 8 townships within its border, no other middle or high school meets this standard of excellence. No other middle or high school in the entire county. Moreover, in the 8 counties that surround Marion County, there are 14 4-star middle or high schools. And so I know at the moment there are a multitude of pressing issues facing our nation and our world, and yet I submit to you that there is no work more inextricably linked to the future of this nation than ensuring that all children receive an equal quality education. Because 56 years have passed since the Supreme Court handed down its landmark decision in Brown versus the Board of Education of Topeka, and still today the color of your skin and your zip code are almost entirely determinative of the quality of public education this nation affords to its future. And we all know that the consequences of this enduring injustice are grim. High school dropouts have 3 times the unemployment rate of college graduates. Male high school dropouts have 47 more times likely than a college graduate to be incarcerated. The United States ranks 24th in science and 25th in math out of the 30 most industrialized nations. And while the U.S. is, of course, a leader in college participation globally, it ranks in the bottom half of nations in terms of college completion. And yet I would not use this opportunity or this venue to share this relatively depressing news with you if I was not certain of 2 things. One, as much as it might seem so, our nation's broken system of public education is not an intractable problem. This spring, for example, urban prep academies in Chicago, its only public, all-male, all-African-American high school had 100% of the first graduating class admitted to a 4-year college or university. 100%. Only 4% of those same 107 young men, only 4%, when they entered into Urban Prep as freshmen, could read at grade level. And as an example of how those situated outside of the education universe can help leverage their strengths to advance the efforts of those situated within it, Nike commemorated the accomplishments of these young men with a limited edition Urban Prep shoe, complete with the school's creed written on the insole. And regardless of where you work, we don't all work at Nike, but every school in the nation is in need of mentors for its young people. One essential element of Urban Prep's model is that each and every one of its students receive constant, ongoing mentorship by having a mentor spend more than an hour a day with them consistently throughout the 4 years. Secondly, I'm certain that there is not a more well-suited or more well-equipped group of people to remake our nation's educational landscape than the DePaul alumni community. It's the strength that DePaul instills within us. It's the knowledge that we possess. It's the necessary passion and skills to tackle those issues which have the most negative impacts on our communities, our nation, and our world, which renders DePaul alumni most fit for this challenge. And while there is much work to be done, there's also great cause for optimism. Across the nation, there are pockets of hope, pockets of progress, of educational equity. From Green Dot Public Schools in Los Angeles to Urban Prep Academies in Chicago to the Harlem Children's Zone in New York City, and so many of their successful school models scattered all around the nation that are serving children well from the nation's highest poverty neighborhoods, we now truly do have the formulas for success. And so, fellow alumni, in closing, I would just say that our nation's underserved children need us to identify that effective school or that effective community program and commit ourselves in our own ways to offering of our unique strengths to them. And where there are children in need of such a program, such a school, no one, in my estimation, is better prepared and better suited than a collection of DePaul alumni to collectively create such opportunities. That DePaul alumni did just this in opening and sustaining the Charles A. Tinley Accelerated School is just one, certainly not the only, example of what we are capable of doing when we find a way to marry our respective DePaul-instilled strength and DePaul-instilled conviction for the betterment of children. And so when we meet again, I look forward to hearing President Casey and the class speakers recount the myriad of ways in which our nation's children have been strengthened because of you. Thank you.